This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try. Above us, only sky.
Who don't even believe in hell? I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. No hell below us, above us only sky. This is the September 24th, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio, rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting for the rest of us. This show broadcasts from Madison, Wisconsin. And Free Thought Radio's podcasts the following week, and is also broadcasting in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, and in New York City.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I am one of the original co-founders back in 1976. This is dating
In third grade, wasn't
with
it?
With my mother and Gaylor, and then we had a third gentleman, John Sontag from Milwaukee, join us. And in 1978, she was asked to go national. My mother was asked to go national with the group and did. And we've gone from the original three to over 17,000 members, and from all volunteer staff to over 11 full-time and interns. And we're very crowded at our Free Thought Hall in Madison, Wisconsin.
And we hope someday you will join us.
And we have two purposes: to educate the public about non-theism and to keep religion out of government, keep church and state separate as is required by our Constitution.
And sometimes that means we get to travel and talk about state, church, and free thought. You were just in San Diego just last week, weren't you, Annie Laurie?
Yes, I joined. It was an academic gathering, really, with the San Diego University was putting on an event to honor the 500th birth date of Michael Cervantes. And he was the Spanish physician who was literally put to death, burned at the stake by Calvin in Geneva. And Dan, you read a whole book about it. Briefly, why don't you say what happened?
Yeah, because Cervantes challenged Calvin's authority. Calvin had written his Institutes, which is very Trinitarian, and Cervantes came along, and Cervantes was right. He said, by the way, there's no Trinity in the Bible. And John Calvin would be happy to know that I've corrected him. Well, of course he wasn't. He ended up being murdered, premeditated, maliciously murdered, burned at the stake by John Calvin. And because he was anti-Trinitarian, that he had a lot to do with the beginning of the Unitarian religion.
But he also, in his works of theology, happened to bury the fact that he had figured out how the blood circulation works.
That was incidental.
And there's that famous quote, people who will burn books will burn people. That's very true. But Calvin held on. He ordered all the books burned, but held on to one of them. And there were three. And eventually, now Servetus is credited. And just think what else he would have done if he hadn't been put to death by Calvin. So I was there to talk about the role of women in unbelief. It was the history of unbelief. And I also talked to the community of reason, many of our members in San Diego, about what's going on with FFRF. So that was kind of fun.
Cervantes was a believer, but very iconoclastic and very kind of free-thinking of his day. And a good book on that is called Out of the Flames, if you want to know more about it. Some other famous freethinkers. This week is the birthday of two freethinking composers. The Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich, who did not believe in God. He was born on September 25th, 1906. And the American composer and songwriter George Gershwin, from a non-believing Jewish family. He was born on September 26th, 1898. Listen in today's show for a little bit of Shostakovich's Symphony No. 5 and George Gershwin's Concerto in F.
You've heard us say her name many times recently on this show, but today is the first time we will have her as a guest. On the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll be talking with FFRF staff attorney Stephanie Smith about many of the state church victories she and our legal staff have been involved with in this past summer. Last week, we spoke with the ACLU attorney, Rebecca Glenberg, about the new lawsuit that FFRF has filed with the ACLU in Giles County, Virginia.
And if all goes according to plan, I'm scheduled to be a guest on the national Fox News tomorrow, Sunday, September 25th at 1:40 p.m. Eastern, to talk about our Giles County lawsuit with the attorney representing the other side, Matt Staver of the Liberty Council. Matt and I actually debated the Ten Commandments last year at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University. And the host of the Fox interview tomorrow is Shannon Bream. She's a graduate of Liberty University, so that should be an intensive interview.
Pretty cozy. Now, here's a news story from the local Fox News, 2127 out of Roanoke, Lynchburg, Virginia, about the Giles County lawsuit.
Today, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, along with the ACLU, followed through on its promise to sue if the historical display, including the Ten Commandments, went up in schools. The foundation says its lawsuit was filed today on behalf of a Narrows High School student and parent after the display was put in that hallway. The ACLU isn't using their real name for fear of community retaliation. The complaint states the historical display makes the student uncomfortable in school. Now, the ongoing debate started back in December, and since then, the commandments have been taken down and put back up several times. The most recent decision to display the commandments stemmed from the school board insisting a historical display is educational. Ashley, for what it's worth on either side to go through all this trouble, what do they tell you tonight?
Well, basically, Becky, both sides have a stake in the outcome of this lawsuit. The ACLU says it's fighting for the First Amendment, while the group representing the school board says it's fighting for what's right. The Ten Commandments is at the center of the debate. Even with the addition of other historical documents, the ACLU says that's not enough to stop the lawsuit.
It is put there for religious purposes, even though it is in with other historical documents.
When the case goes to court, Liberty Council will represent the school board for free.
This particular display in its entirety has been upheld by two federal courts of appeal, so we are very comfortable with the fact that this display is constitutional.
And the community members I spoke with agree.
I don't have a lot of respect for the ACLU. We didn't invite them here.
That's where all our laws were founded, on the Ten Commandments. And it's not going to hurt anybody.
A date has not yet been set for the two sides to battle out the Ten Commandments in court. Liberty Council says first it has to file a response to the complaint, which could take a couple of weeks. The ACLU tells me most of the lawsuits it files are settled before the cases even head to court. Now, if not, legal fees could add up to $100,000. In addition to taking down the Ten Commandments, the ACLU is also asking a judge to make Giles County pay for legal fees and damages. Live in the newsroom, I'm Ashley Roberts for the Fox 2127 10 o'clock news.
Now, that lawsuit, they're not crediting FFRF, but this is a lawsuit taken by the ACLU of Virginia and the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It was our complaint. We had the people coming forward, and we're delighted to be working with Rebecca Glenberg on that. Now, Matt, Liberty Council saying that the law's on their side. They just lost another appeal at the Supreme Court level where they were trying to say that they could put, if you put up all of these truly historic documents next to the Ten Commandments, that that was permissible. And they owe a huge amount of money in this case. They lost the McCreary case before the U.S. Supreme Court involving a county courthouse. This is schools. Mm-hmm. This is a captive audience.
This is in the schools, which is much more egregious.
And, of course, no Ten Commandments in our Constitution.
Before we talk about more intensive state church issues, for a little bit of fun, we thought you'd get a laugh hearing Bill Maher talk about Texas Governor Rick Perry recently on the Jay Leno Show.
Here's a guy who has a terrible drought in his state and literally asked people to pray for rain, and now the state's on fire.
Right.
So we saw how good that worked out. I mean, if you were reading about some country where they were having some sort of disaster and the leader asked for the help of the gods to fix this, you would think they were talking about a tribal chieftain with a bone in his nose, not the leader of one of the major parties of the United States of America.
Of course, as Mark Twain said, it is better to read the weather forecast before we pray for rain. And speaking of Mark Twain, it is Mark Twain is going to be kind of a focus of the 34th Annual Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, taking place in Hartford, Connecticut on the weekend of October 7th and 9th. And people who pre-register by September 30th, that's a Friday, You can go online at fff.org and look for outreach convention and so on.
And we're going
people
to visit
who register
his house.
Can go to a tour of his house. It's we're arranging a shuttle from the Marriott Hotel because it's hard to get to the Mark Twain Victorian home. It's fascinating. It's where he did much of his best writing. I can't remember how many, 12,000 square feet or whatever, Tiffany decorated. So there's time to come to the convention. Who else is speaking, Dan?
Steven Pinker, Rebecca Neuberger Goldstein,
Charles Strauss, the Broadway composer of Annie and Bye Bye Bernie, making a very rare appearance.
Christian Rogger, Joe Taylor.
Many, many state church activists. We have three student activists, including two who protested graduation prayers. We have an atheist in the foxhole, Steve Trunk, winning finally a more than 20-year battle against a huge cross on Mount Soledad. It's going to be a very entertaining weekend, and so look for more information at fff.org/outreachconvention and sign up now, and we'd love to see you there.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
The farmers pray for precipitation, and they say, in God we trust. Then along comes a drought and dries their crops out and turns their prayers into dust. The next time they need some assistance, they should take the advice of Mark Twain, who said it's better to check the weather report before you pray for rain.
Hello, my name is Ian Bell, originally from England but now residing on the north side of Chicago. I'm proud to be on Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
In a few minutes, we're going to talk with FFRF staff attorney Stephanie Schmidt about some great legal victories and other actions she and the legal staff have been involved with this summer. But first, we thought you'd like to hear about the recent competition among ad agencies to produce the best 40-second ad to, believe it or not, to ban all religion. This contest was sponsored by the popular Australian TV show called The Gruen Transfer.
And now the pitch, where ad agencies compete to sell the unsellable. Tonight, we thank Adelaide's Jim Stapleton for his controversial suggestion. In fact, for the first time in four seasons of Gruen, we had agencies decline to take a shot at it. No one had a problem when we wanted to bring back child labour, invade New Zealand, or euthanise everyone over 80. But this idea scared people. So what does Jim want to see? Nothing much, just a campaign to ban all religion. Please welcome from Loud and Clear, Ben Abeith, and from Play, Simon Herroff. Ben, did you receive divine intervention?
No, it was tough. We started thinking about all the other ideas that over the course of human history have seemed like a good idea at the time, and then had a use-by date, and we kind of took it from there.
Let's have a look.
For every human achievement, there were ideas that were never meant to last. Ideas that got left behind as mankind evolved. We worshipped the stars and believed the earth was flat. We sacrificed each other and set women on fire to help the wheat grow. We kept people as slaves and banned them from voting, especially if they wore a skirt. We believed in ships that couldn't sink and let colour decide who got the best seats on the bus. Every step of the way, evolution and enlightenment have knocked off the superstitions and the fairy tales. Almost. Bad ideas shouldn't last for eternity. Join us and let's make religion history.
Good job. Simon, did you have a road to Damascus moment?
Yeah, we had a few. We felt that to convince Australians to ban religion, we really had to show them that the world would be a better place without it. So we wanted to show them that Australia would be a happier, safer place without it.
Let's have a look.
They're showing some children playing war games.
Religion, throughout time, the number one cause of conflict. The messages twisted, driving us towards hate and indoctrinating our children. is the time to leave the past behind, to move as one, to create a better Australia for all of us.
Wow. Two of our best. Tell us at the website and check out interviews with Ben and Simon where they read us chapter and verse on the making of those ads. The Gruen Transfer. Happiness made simple.
Well, we have a long way to go in our country before we catch up to Australia and its irreverency. So changing the subject, this week, FFRF's lead staff attorney, Rebecca Market, sent a letter to South Carolina School District complaining about an egregious violation. And I think you'll all agree it was super egregious.
There were three abuses in one school, all supported by the principal. They had a religious rally during school time by this Christian performer called B. Shock. During school hours, supported by the principal, they had Christian crosses commemorating 9/11. And then they had...
All over the lawn.
The front lawn.
You couldn't miss it.
And then the principal invited students to this Meet You at the Pole rally. So Rebecca's letter complained about all of that. But before we talk in detail, you can actually see this Christian performer on YouTube bragging about this Christian rally. There's a six-minute video, but here's just a little slice of that video that B-Shock, B-S-H-O-C, put online rejoicing about bringing Jesus into the public schools.
All right, so we are at Jefferson, South Carolina at the New Heights Middle School. This is so awesome because we're going to be singing for 6th and 7th and 8th grade in here. Because of this, people in public schools are going to get to know who Jesus Christ is.
Only this relationship with Christ will keep you face to face with God with integrity and say, Lord, I love your son Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is what you need more importantly than anything else. Someone can pray with you, they can take down some information, make sure that you're plugged into a church. And after we pray, I want you guys to come up front and be shocked. And so your principal looked at me today and I said, how are you getting away with this? And he said, I'm not. And he said, I want these kids to know that eternal life is real. And I don't care what happens to me, they're going to hear it today.
All right, we are excited. 324 kids at this school have made a decision for Jesus Christ. I don't know if it gets any better than that. We're in a public school, and we did a show for the 6th grade, the 7th grade, and then the 8th grade.
Okay, so what we were listening to is that was B-Shock, a Christian rap artist, bragging about how he goes into the schools and does soul winning, and in particular this September 1st event. It was in a Chesterfield County school in South Carolina, Chesterfield Middle School, where they basically had this soul winning and the principal, with this principal's cooperation. And so Rebecca Markert, our senior staff attorney, wrote a very strong letter because it is a super egregious violation. We have a captive audience of school children, and here they are corralled into an assembly to find Jesus. I mean, it's kind of a new one for us, really. It's super appalling.
Well, they turned that whole gymnasium into this like big rock concert with the smoke rising, and they actually set off the fire alarms. But the children were all there like getting autographs from these Christian people, giving their lives to Jesus.
And then they also promoted the See You at the Pole prayer rally, which if it's done only by students, fine, but this was promoted by the school. So we're waiting to get more responses on that. Now coming up, who do we have, Dan?
Well, stay tuned. There's a little bit of Gershwin in the background. Can you hear him? George Gershwin, the non-believing composer. Stay tuned for the Freedom from Religion Foundation's attorney, Stephanie Schmidt. It was her letter that stirred up all the football prayer controversy in DeSoto County, Mississippi, that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. And Stephanie is here in the studio with us to talk more about that and other complaints that FFRF's legal staff have been dealing with. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, my name is James Hubble. I'm from Springfield, Missouri, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have in studio with us, which is always fun, our third staff attorney, Stephanie Schmidt. Did I say that right? Schmidt.
Schmidt, yes.
We should... Yes.
We've been spelling it wrong on all these. S-C-H-M-I-T-T?
Correct.
Got Schmidt. It. Okay.
And Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
About time. And I wanted to say a few words. You are our summer intern in the summer of...
2009.
2009. Mm-hmm. And we only had one staff attorney at that time. And I remember especially the fun and the hard work that you and Rebecca put in on an amicus brief about crosses being unconstitutional. You worked hard on that.
Yeah, that was an intense summer. Rebecca had only been there. That was her first year at FFRF as well. So to be thrown into writing an amicus brief, we both were excited, but...
And it was put together in about a week.
Correct.
And it was great. Unfortunately, it was that Mojave Desert case, which we have a bad Supreme Court. But
right.
That you've put that research to work often in follow-up letters.
We have. We've been able to use it.
And then you graduated from where and when?
I graduated from the Southern Illinois University Law School in May of 2010.
In Carbondale.
Correct. Carbondale, Illinois. Yep.
And then have been kind of pitching in when we needed help. And then we really formalized the arrangement and made you a staff attorney in this summer.
Yep. In May of this year, I've been officially a staff attorney for Freedom From Religion.
Basically allowed to sign letters with your own name.
I know. It's been exciting.
And now she might even get her own computer.
Well, it might.
Isn't a bigger computer.
We've ordered it, so it's gone.
Yeah, you're using a laptop. And so you have had a number of recent victories that are very exciting. Just one a day, it seems like, lately. But let's start with the big case that came up in August, which we alluded to earlier in the show, which is the graduation prayer situation in Mississippi.
Football.
Actually, it was football prayer. Athletic events.
Yeah. Yep.
That one, again, came in August. We wrote a letter to DeSoto County, and that was one where it just took off in the media. And ever since then, we've just been flooded with more prayer at athletic events.
Because the superintendent did the right thing.
Correct. They actually, in DeSoto County, had a school policy adopted in 2008 indicating that this shouldn't happen, but they weren't enforcing it. And so after the letter, the school board said, yes, we need to enforce our policy now.
And then I remember after that, which was a great victory, then you got another complaint from a parent in DeSoto County about the Gideons.
Yep. Right after that, we were flooded with complaints in DeSoto County actually. And, the Gideons were in there passing out Bibles to middle schoolers, and so we've sent another letter.
And we're still waiting to hear back on that.
Yeah, we haven't. We've never received any official writing from DeSoto County.
But we're hoping that keeps the Gideons out. They usually come twice a year, I think, fall and spring. And then,
we did get some unofficial response, though, in the news stories. What right does you outsiders have to stick your nose in our local business down here?
That seems pretty commonplace these days.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to see samples of the crank mail that has come in because of DeSoto County, you can get ask for a free sample of the September Free Thought Today, which is, we had to cut some of it. We'll have more of it in the October issue, but wow, some of it quite obscene. And there was actually an editorial. I shared it with the newspaper because I think people should know how the good Christians in that county are treating us. And they actually reported on it and editorialized against it. So
yeah, it was a big deal. And since then, it's just created a domino effect of similar complaints and issues all over the South. I mean,
so why didn't you talk about some of those that have been
coming in? I mean, that was in Mississippi. We've had another complaint come in Mississippi and a county nearby in Jones County. Since then, we've had more complaints in Alabama. I think that's becoming a huge topic point right now.
A lot of phone calls coming in from Alabama.
Exactly. As well as in Georgia and Louisiana.
What were the issues then?
These were all prayer at football games over the loudspeaker. Whether they were student-led or they had team chaplains or ministers coming in. It's a variety.
You know, we're tampering with two religions in Alabama because the big joke down there in Alabama is that football is their second religion. So two sacred cows and one complaint, you know, they just can't deal with
happy.
It. So we have, you have a number of these letters going out.
Those are ones that have gone out and they still keep coming in daily. So,
and this week you were also very busy, I think, single-handedly getting out some mailings to superintendents, and tell us about that.
Well, in response to DeSoto County, as well as a Bell County, Kentucky victory that our other staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, had, we decided to alert all superintendents of the violations that are possibly going on all over the state. And so in response to that, we sent out a memo to each of the superintendents in the state alerting them to the current law and just letting them know that, hey, if this is going on,
you got to stop it.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, and now last spring we had sent out a letter. I think it was Tennessee, right?
To all
the superintendents of Tennessee, because Rebecca spent like a whole month in November of last year dealing with football prayer in the state of Tennessee. We kind of thought we got that taken care of. But so I think this week you were sending out letters to all the superintendents in Mississippi.
We sent out Kentucky last week, and yes, Mississippi this week, as well as Louisiana.
It's coming up, yeah.
Yes.
So what do they do? They call you up and say, thank you, Stephanie, for that wonderful letter.
It's actually a very respectful letter. It's just laying out the facts.
We have had one superintendent call us yesterday. I believe Patrick took the call, and he indicated that he agrees with the law in our position and that he just wanted to let us know that it wasn't taking place in his district. I don't recall which district, but that was at least a positive response.
A cool response. And I would think the superintendents would appreciate getting some buttressing from a civil rights group on why they should be obeying the law, because they're constantly hearing from the religious right lobbies, these far right lobbies, telling them, you know, don't pay any attention to that law. So I would think that it'd be nice for some of them to have friends on their side.
Right.
Now, victories, seems like so many coming through. Why don't you tell us some of them?
Well, it's been great having only been an actual staff attorney for the past few months to receive positive feedback. And so it makes me want to stay here and continue doing what I'm doing. And so some of the recent victories that came in were actually some in Texas. We had a school district indicate that a religious flyer that was passed out had gone out just as an oversight and that they would take care of that problem.
Is that the one we reported on, the Lindale?
Nope, that's actually that's a separate one. Victory. That one happened a few weeks ago. Lindale was a school district where the teacher passed out her supply list and included the Bible as one of the supplies to bring to her
and
math class.
What was it, a spiritual attitude about the Holy Ghost or something? You're supposed to bring both things to class.
You're supposed to listen to the Spirit of the Lord.
In algebra class.
So then for people who don't know what happened there?
Well, we did receive a response back indicating that this teacher used to teach at a private school, and so she inadvertently had passed out her supply list from that school. We did receive an apology letter, and the supply list was replaced immediately. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying the accident, but it's good to get that responded to.
Right.
So you got some positive feedback, but you told us you finally received a negative some crank mail of your own, right?
I did
it all the time at the foundation, but you got one addressed to you.
I did. This week I received my first crank mail to my specific FFRF address, and this was in regards to, again, the Alabama prayer at athletic events complaints. And so I had one person email me and write, "Your organization is a blemish to society. Leave those who want to gather alone. No one is making anyone stay or participate in a pre-game prayer in Alabama. If you or your members don't want to participate, do not. but don't burden others with your beliefs and infringe upon their rights. You must be miserable people.
So why don't you, there's a lot of assumptions being made in this crank mail, and your letters of complaint kind of go into some of this idea that you, geez, you don't have to go to this game if you don't want to. How would you respond to that?
Well, it's unfortunate that they think that if anybody is going to be offended by such a thing, that they should either just close their ears or come later.
That they should forfeit the right to go to their own school football
game. Right. And many of the complaints that we receive from these people who are upset with us, you know, indicate that we're not allowing them to pray at all. And that's certainly never something that we are indicating. I mean, we realize that they have rights too and to pray on their own, but it's when it steps in and it's government related, especially in the schools, that we take action and make them aware of the law. It's not something that we're seeking them to do. We're just seeking for them to follow the law. So
yeah. And we were taking phone calls from irate students in Alabama this week. And one of them called yesterday and said, if those people don't want to pray, then they don't have to live in this town. And I thought, you know, wow, that is, you know, we get this all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, why didn't you go move to Russia or Korea now or Afghanistan or whatever? I don't understand the rationale there that they think we want to go live in a theocracy. But that's why we have a Bill of Rights. It's to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority.
Right.
What a climate of hostility for any Jewish or non-religious or non-Christian kid.
Exactly. And that's one of the complaints that I think we also receive most often is that it go with the majority. This is what the majority of people in this town want. And so they need to deal with it. And
there's
that's certainly not
primary misunderstanding, or they don't even know about the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. So
we're a bunch of outsiders interfering when it's actually local complainants.
Right.
So.
And you can understand why they would be afraid to speak out, can't you?
Absolutely. With just the responses that we receive alone, I certainly can't imagine being the one person speaking out in that
especially
community.
Students, and that's why we have some student activist awardees coming up at the convention who really have put a lot on the line in protesting religion in their schools. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. This is Free Thought Radio. We are talking with staff attorney Stephanie Schmidt. Got it right. And we're going to come back and talk about a few more of her victories.
This is Daniel Dennett, author of Breaking the Spell, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are continuing our conversation with Stephanie Schmidt, who is a newish staff attorney at FFRF. You've been hearing a lot about her victories, and we thought it's high time to bring her on the show and talk about them herself and a lot of what your area has been, Stephanie, and I know the three attorneys kind of parcel out areas, has been a lot of school complaints in the South.
Correct. When I came on as an actual staff attorney, my jurisdictions were the Fifth Circuit and the 11th Circuit. So I was given pretty much the South. I was given Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi,
Georgia,
Florida, Georgia, and Alabama.
That's a way to cut your teeth on.
Yeah, I thought they did that on purpose. So it's been interesting.
A non-baptism by fire is what it's been, huh?
So basically enforcing the law, doing a lot of education with principals and superintendents about why you really can't have proselytizing and devotional prayer and religion in our public schools.
Right.
Something that we thought was settled in the 1960s, but it ain't in the South.
It's going strong in the South still today.
And you've had a lot of victories. We've been talking about a lot of them. We didn't get to, I guess, Savannah, Georgia. Is that right? Savannah,
yep.
Chatham?
That was a response that we received this past week. We had a complaint about prayers going on before soccer games. And also at their awards banquet, they would have one of the fathers of a player was also a minister. And so the principal, I don't know if he invited him or how he got permission, but he would give a prayer before the banquet and the principal would be standing there with him. So we wrote a complaint about that to the superintendent and just received a positive response this past week regarding that as well. He wasn't even aware that it was going on.
I think this is true for a lot of the cases, and that's why we always go over the head of the offending principal or the offending school
right.
and make sure the superintendent is aware. Now, I should segue and say that Rebecca Markert's victory in Bell County, Kentucky, was it?
Correct.
We should recap that just because that was a case where the superintendent, well, I'll recap it. The superintendent and at least the school board attorney knew that what they were doing was against the law and were waiting for somebody to complain.
And they said that.
Not the greatest attitude.
They said our attitude is we're going to keep doing this until someone makes us stop.
So that's why it's really important that anybody listening, you know about a state church violation going on in your school district or your government, let us know.
Right.
Not that we don't have enough to do.
No, it definitely keeps us busy.
But at least in Savannah, we know the super didn't even know this was going on. And
right.
I'm sure they're grateful
mm-hmm.
to be told. And then we didn't talk about another victory you had, and that was a district, I think, Keller ISD in Texas.
Yep. We received a complaint regarding the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is typically, well, it is supposed to be a student-run organization, and we were alerted to the fact that their group was published in the yearbook, which isn't necessarily a problem. It is a student organization and has its right to be in the yearbook, but the problem we discovered within that was that they showed a picture of the coach who was standing up and giving a prayer to the students, and so obviously that's the violation that we called or wrote a complaint on. And again,
in the past week or so, didn't you get a good letter?
Yep, we did receive information that they would be investigating this matter and handling it
and that they frowned on this. This shouldn't be happening.
Right, and that they would retrain their staff on what it means to be present but not participate in the student-run organizations.
And I think there's a... Do you have any other victories we've looked recent that I've forgotten to ask you about?
The only other interesting one I made note of, which is also one of the topic areas that I got as kind of the newbie, was handling church bulletin discount complaints. And typically we receive complaints indicating that if you bring in your church bulletin on Sunday, you'll receive a certain percentage off your meal or something along those lines. And so we were alerted to a discount going on at Quiznos in Oklahoma. And we didn't receive any written response from the restaurant, but our member who wrote to us let me know that her and her son went back to the restaurant and the sign was taken down advertising that discount. And so she asked about it. And the quote she received from the worker was that some atheist was threatening to sue. So we had to stop.
Okay.
So
now to recap, and congratulations on that. Now, to recap on the Civil Rights Act, this is the one area where we don't complain to a government body. We usually
right.
confine our complaints to the government entangled with religion.
Right.
But this is sort of on behalf of freethinkers who are being discriminated against because the Civil Rights Act of 1964, kind of famous, is being violated. And then you go in and the staff go in, and often it's the city, the county, and the state have also all adopted their own civil rights ordinances. So you want to talk about the Civil Rights Act briefly and why it is discrimination to offer a church bulletin discount.
Well, the civil rights has a portion that talks about public accommodations. And so it's discriminatory for any business that falls under public accommodation to discriminate based on not only religion, but all the other...
Race, color.
Exactly.
Sex.
Yep. And so for us, this is more of just a straightforward complaint that we can easily address. And typically, like you said, the states have adopted policies mimicking the Civil Rights Act. And so it's pretty easy to address the matter with the law.
Although, yeah, I know you have to do some negotiation. And sometimes you get calls back from almost shaky voices of little restaurateurs who own a business. And they want to let you know right away that they're
right.
going to stop it. And then other times we get argumentation. They hire a law firm. And we think, what's to argue about here?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it would be like saying, okay, if you're black and you come in, we'll give you a discount on Sunday. Or if you're white and you come in, you get a 50% discount. It's exactly the same kind of thing to say, mm-hmm. if you can prove you've gone to church, we'll give you a discount.
Right.
So you do a lot of those.
Yeah. And generally speaking, we don't always receive a response, but more often we are notified by our complainants that the matter has been resolved. So that's a perfect victory as well.
That's yes. what it means for an organization to be a watchdog organization. Watching. It's not like we're roaming the country. The complaints come to us.
And you are now the intake person, so you know how many people are filling out the form on
exactly.
our online form about Safe Church
Victims. Daily and nonstop.
And deluge, kind of.
Right.
A daily deluge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a free service that we're offering the public and our members, and you know, we're having to grow because of this. So we do appreciate people who join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who contribute to our legal fund, who make possible these major victories.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations, Stephanie.
Thank you.
On quite a great early start to the fall here.
Yes.
So you probably never thought in law school this is what you'd be ending up doing. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And again, as always, we want to thank Brian Tarani, our faithful engineer and producer, for putting this show together. A little bit of Shostakovich in the background. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear archives and the podcast.
And go to ffrf.org to join us. Ask for a sample copy of our newspaper if you want to check us out. You can call 1-800-335-4021. But I think you know what we're about. If you support us, we'd really appreciate your support, because we're doing a lot to keep state and church separate and promote free thought in North America. And we hope to see you at Hartford, Connecticut at our convention in October. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday